You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
I do have a... My plan yesterday was to write the sermon late at night, last night. And so that's what I planned to do. And at 4:30 in the afternoon, I sat down in the kitchen and... light bulb went off, and we have kind of a heavy message today. And I want to say this before we read the scriptures. We have kind of a heavy message today, and the reason why, it's got two different weights to it. The second weight is what it is. It's about the voices in our heads that have been given to us by other people and that we've allowed in, and how they tell us who we are all the time, and we have to wrestle through that. The first heaviness is, this is one of those sermons that is easy for everybody in here to say, oh, I needed that, quickly. Or say, oh, that's not me. Or say, oh, no, you know, I didn't do that to anybody else. This is a sermon where, when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, the complication of her illness was way deeper than the simplicity of her healing. She touched Jesus, she got healed. But what got healed was a lifetime of complication, yes? Yes? When Jesus heals a blind person, he touches their eyes and they're healed. What made each person go blind is so deeply complicated, people go to school for 8 years and spend $250,000 to become doctors to explain these things, yes? So when just because Jesus lays his hand on someone doesn't mean it's not complicated. His healings are so generous that they come out more simple than the complication of what he's healing. You see this? So this healing bomb that I hope goes out in, what, let me just tell you this right now. This is going to be one of the most undone sermons I've probably ever preached. I'm in over my head on it. I don't think it's finished. I think it might be started. And I'm just going to play these chords until it's time to pray at the end. But I'm hoping that the simplicity of Jesus having his hand on your mind and your soul is going to be way better than the inability to get into the complications of this, okay? Okay. So with that said, not to make it super intense for Julian, but Julian can come up now and read Micah, and then I will read 1 Corinthians.
A reading from the book of Micah, Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent you before Moses, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? These are incredibly important verses. For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through its wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. That verse is not saying God is so strong that his weakness is stronger than our strength. That verse is saying the thing we call strength is weakness, and the thing we've been told is weakness is actually strength. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So if you were told growing up that you were nothing, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. A couple months ago after church, one of our young adults came up to me and said, Pastor, when I have a thought, how do I know if it's my voice or if it's the voice of God? How many have asked this question before in your life? Is this me or is it God? Every day, I ask him this question, all the time. You become a pastor and you get less knowledge on is it me or is it God? Trust me. I said, when it's the voice of God, it will be a voice that makes it easy and freeing for you to be yourself. When it is the voice of anything not God, it will make you think you have to do something to be your best self. Let the simplicity of that statement hover over the complications of our self-image, our traumas, the voices in our head. If it's really the voice of God, it might tell you to do something. It may even tell you to change something. It may even tell you to repent of something. But you will not feel like you are in court until you do that thing. Yes? You are you to God all the time. You are your best self because he sees himself in you. When the voice says, once I repent, then I can be myself. Once I do, then I can be myself. That is the voice that Jesus would say, get behind me, Satan. If you forget everything else, please do not forget that. The voice of God is a voice that doesn't talk about your behavior or your morality or your ethic before it tells you, you are my beloved son and daughter in whom I am well pleased. Everything that happens after that, everything we have to work on, everything we need to grow in can only happen because you are as holy mind now as you would be if you changed or if you fell apart. But there are voices in our head given to us and also allowed in by us that have altered our thinking to think that we have to do well to be well before God and others. When action comes first, it is no longer the gospel of free grace by Jesus Christ. When work comes first, it is the gospel of man and works-based salvation. Amen? Last week, I preached a sermon only because you weren't here, and it was fitting for me to pivot and preach about Mary and Martha and the issue they had in their home because you were all home watching. And so it's very rare as a pastor that you actually get to preach a sermon about what happens in the home with everybody at home while you're preaching it. And so I wanted to do that because I could preach about Mary and Martha here, but we're here, we're not at home. But to hear it in the place where that battleground happens is important. And we talked about how Martha was very upset with Mary because Martha was doing all the work and Mary was sitting with Jesus. And when Martha went to Jesus to say, like, this is unfair, Jesus said, here's the thing, you're anxious about many things, and therefore you think your issue is Mary not helping, but we know that your issue is a whole bunch of other stuff, and you're scapegoating Mary to avoid your anxieties. You're anxious about many things, so it's much easier to say, my issue is Mary, my issue is my job, my issue is the bills, not the Buffalo Bills. Although, let's face the facts.
How about them Giants?
Yeah. All right. Whatever voices in our head make us feel like we need to yell out irrationally, hopefully, Lord. I love you, my brother. Anxious about many things. And then we scapegoat our anxiety by saying either super Christian things like, I just gave it to God, I'm good. Or we weigh that blame and we weigh those anxieties onto other people and anchor in on them. And all the while, Jesus is saying, all right, here's the deal. Yes, you need to give it to me, but that's a process. That's not a statement. That's a process. And also take the gas pedal off some of these people that were scapegoating, because the issue isn't the person who cut me off. The issue is all the things going on in my life for 43 plus years that come out on the person who cut me off. That's the truth. Jesus does not really care about the low-hanging fruit, superficial things that we go through. He cares about what is driving our response to those things from the roots of our life up. He's the best gardener. He wants to make holy the seed, the stump, the roots. This is what it says all throughout Scripture. So my spiritual director, Brother Randy, he said to me 8 years ago, things happen in your life and voices are imparted into your life. That's what it's what's supposed to happen. Okay, I'm supposed to be a voice that is imparted into Theodore and Sophia's life. And there's people, pastors, teachers, mentors, coaches, moms and dads, uncles and aunts, there's people who speak to us, they're supposed to leave a lasting mark. What happens is some of those things are damaging. And then Brother Randy said this, he goes, here's what happens. A situation will occur, and I'll give you a light example. This is true, and I'm not gonna give too many details, I will give you just this basic thing. I am out, this is the easiest, simplest one, so it gets much worse for all of us from here. It's Memorial Day weekend, I got my New York Mets grill attire on. I got country music playing. I'm in my happy place. I don't care if that's not your happy place. It's mine. And I'm grilling a steak. And I flip the steak on the grill. And this thought hits me. You didn't flip it right. And I'm like, what? Okay. So it gets done and I start cutting it. And this voice, you're not cutting it against the grain like you're supposed to. And I started to hate grilling that day. And I brought it up to my spiritual director, and he said to me, did anything ever happen? And a long time ago, I'm standing with a bunch of guys around a grill, and somebody influential in my life said, real men know how to do this. I probably wasn't even listening. I was probably just standing there waiting to talk like I always do. Why are you laughing the most? But something about that comment stayed in me through time, imprinted, is a voice in my head, and all of a sudden I'm flipping the steak, and I'm like, I don't want anybody to eat this garbage. It's delicious. delicious. Brother Randy said, there's voices in our head, and sometimes we hear the spirit of those voices, or we hear the ghost of those voices. The spirit of those voices are when the Holy Spirit takes over the voices in our head and ministers to us through them in a way that helps us know that we can be ourselves. Do you see that? And then sometimes the enemy inhabits those voices, hijacks them, and makes us feel like we can't be ourselves until. Who do men say that I am? Peter says, you are the Son of God. Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, my Father did. So do you notice that Jesus says to Peter, that answer didn't come from you, it came from a voice called my Father. Do you see that? Next verse, you can look at this if you want to, Matthew 16. Next verse, Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to go be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and die. And Peter goes up to him and says, this shall never happen to you, you will not die. And Jesus turns and looks at Peter and says, get behind me. Do you notice in both instances, Jesus makes it clear to Peter, neither of these answers came from you. One came from my Father speaking in your mind, and one came from the enemy speaking in your mind. Do you see that? We are people made by God to live off of the voices given to us and the voices we allow in. Sometimes those voices are incredibly encouraging and can make us feel like a superhero, yes? And sometimes a simple voice, real men don't flip a steak that way, can crumble an entire holiday weekend because the enemy got a hold of the voice. The goal isn't to get rid of the voices because they're you. The goal is to offer those voices to the Holy Spirit and get them out of the driver's seat. I just want to play the clip now. Let me introduce this in the most annoying way possible. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. Right? I was doom scrolling one day and came across this clip of Dez Bryant. I want to share this because this is real. This is real. I'm not joking around. I don't want to joke today. Dez Bryant is the focal point of one of the worst calls in the history of the NFL, and I hate to do this to you, Alan, but it was against the Green Bay Packers, and he caught a pass, and they called it an incomplete pass. And I remember when it happened, I remember watching Dez Bryant react to the referees, and from that point moving forward, I was always like, this dude is a hothead. Like, he doesn't ever shut up. Whenever the referees call against him, this man does not shut up. He's always freaking out about it. And then I saw this clip of him talking about the way in which he wants to break a generational curse that was given to him by his dad with his son. I want you to watch this clip.
Breaking that cycle to ensure, you know, your kids don't have to follow in those same footsteps. Like, what are the steps? What do you do?
Let me read something to you real quick. It means a lot to me. Man, I ain't trying to cry, but let me read something. It's been on my phone for a while. Since I met y'all, I'd probably be like 6 years now. To say, break generational curses. Quit yelling at your kids before they go to bed and expect them to sleep well. Quit yelling at your kids in the morning right after they wake up before school and expect them to have a good day. You set the tone for your children. You set the tone for your voice. They will always remember in their heads. You become the inner voice. Don't be the inner critic. Speak life. Speak love. Speak bravery, kindness, and hope. Speak wisdom and truth. Most of all, listen to your children. I never had none of that. I get that to mine. And that's my number one priority. That's how I follow that. That's how I break it. And, you know, so when I do it, I live it. I live it, you know? And that's what they never wanted to pick up.
Quit yelling at your kids before they go to bed and expect them to sleep well. Quit yelling at your kids in the morning before school and expect them to have a good day. You set the tone for the voice they will always remember in their heads. You become their inner voice. Don't be their inner critic. Speak life, speak love, speak bravery, kindness, and hope. Speak wisdom, speak truth. Most of all, listen to your children. Referee throws a flag on this guy for offensive pass interference, and he goes nuts on the referee. I'm sitting at home saying, what a hothead. Do you know what's happening on the field? There's a voice in his head saying, if you fail, you're nothing. And I'm over here, it's just a game, it's just a game. You're getting paid $1 million, you shouldn't be yelling, blah, 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 blah. Look at the Dallas Cowboys, they're always like this. And what's happening on the field is a real human, broken by a real dad, is begging that referee to be his dad and say, don't throw the flag on me, I don't want to be a failure. If this is an incomplete pass and my team loses, my team didn't lose, I lost life. That's why he's not a hothead. His inner child is wounded, broken. We live our lives with this in us all the time. And we yell at our own self the way that an out-of-shape guy from home yells at an in-shape superior athlete, just catch it! We yell at ourselves that way, but really what's going on is our inner child is saying, somebody save me. Somebody save me. God says, don't bring to me your sacrifices, your bulls, your rams. Don't bring me your solemn assemblies. Am I a God who asks for these things? Don't bring me these things. You're bringing me all this stuff. You're burning incense. You're doing all these things. What I want is for you to walk humbly before me. Why is he rejecting this? He's rejecting this because he's showing us that he is a father who doesn't ask his kids to perform to be his kids. And he's saying, you have developed this culture where something somewhere went from the Holy Spirit saying, worship me with incense, to prove yourself with sacrifices. Prove yourself with incense. Prove yourself with your job. Prove yourself with how you raise your kids. Prove yourself with how good your marriage is. Prove yourself by wanting to be your own independent person. Prove yourself by making enough money. Prove yourself by making the people around you all happy, even if it means crushing your soul. People please until you can prove yourself. There's a voice that says, you are not enough until. You're not enough until. You're not enough until. And God is saying, stop bringing me things under that voice. I just want you to be my kids and walk humbly before me. All the other stuff doesn't matter. We walk around with these voices plaguing our heads because some of those voices were given to us. Some of those voices were given to us in the name of Jesus. We're good kids if we follow the rules. We're bad kids if we don't. There's a difference between I did something wrong and I am wrong. And in many of us, it gets conflated, and me doing something wrong means I am wrong. And that is not a Christian way of thinking. This very right person in the image of God is capable of doing something wrong, but it doesn't mean my heart ever gets sour to him, and it doesn't mean my heart should ever get sour to anybody around me who actually loves me. I love this kid. Clapping and preaching. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And Jesus does something outrageous. Peter says, I will never deny you. If wherever you go, I'll die for you. I love you more than these. Soon as Jesus is about to get arrested, Peter jumps in. Then there's a clue. Jesus raises from the dead, meets Peter. They have breakfast together, yes? And Jesus says this, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Notice he doesn't just say, Simon, do you love me? Simon, son of John. This is one of those areas where I'm going to say it this way. There's a possibility here, okay? There's a possibility here that whatever Peter's dad gave to him made Peter feel like he always has to be the best in any group he's in, made Peter feel like he can never show any sign of weakness ever in his life. He has to be the kind of man where weakness is a failure. And so if all of these go away from you, I won't. Soon as somebody shows up, Jesus, as soon as a battalion of soldiers show up, Peter's the first one jumping in. As soon as a little girl says, weren't you the one who was with him? I don't know who you're talking about. You see this? Soldiers show up and Peter's in his element. A kid at a campfire says, didn't I see you with Jesus? And he's like, I don't know the man. Whatever voices were given to Peter that made him think he has to puff up all the time, Jesus plucks out by saying, here's what I care about, Peter. Despite whatever you were told, do you love me? And Jesus says this the first time. He says, do you love me more than these? Yes. Then feed my sheep. I trust you. You messed up, but I trust you. Do you see that? You got it wrong, but I still trust you. I don't trust your actions, Peter. You're crazy. But I trust you. That's a voice Peter needed to hear in his life. I trust you. But look what I did. We're going to work on this for the rest of your life. I'm going to give you a vision in a few years on a housetop. I'm going to keep at it with you. But I just want you to know, I trust you. It was not ironic to me. I never put the gospel reading first, Matt. I never put the gospel reading first. The psalm for today was way too negative. It was way too negative. And I was like, I just don't feel like it's good, so let's just do the gospel text. And then it turns out Lori's not reading. It turns out you're reading. And it turns out when you got saved and came to church, one of the first things that a new voice in your life, a voice of a very dear saint in this church says, hey, start here. Start reading this. And then today you start to read that. And then you tell the story of it in the world's most perfect time and setting to tell a story like that about how a voice told you, if you're going to start someplace, start here. Start here where God says, blessed are you when you're poor, not failure are you when you're poor. Blessed are you when you're mourning, not weak are you when you're mourning. Blessed are you when you're meek. Blessed are you when you're hungry. Blessed are you when you're merciful. Blessed are you when you're pure of heart. Blessed are you when you're a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper like Peter was trying to be, a peacemaker. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when you're reviled. All the voices in our head would say to us, if you're poor, if you're mourning, if you're meek, if you're hungry, if you're merciful, if you're pure in heart, if you're persecuted, you're failing. And Jesus, the voice of our Heavenly Father, says, blessed are you when you're down and out. Amen. That's the voice we need to hear. Knowledge. So two questions for us before I close. 14 questions for us before I close. Number one. We'll start with the easy. We already have these voices in our head. And I want to say this. If you're here and your mom and dad listening, I will speak for myself. I'm going to put good and bad voices in my kids. It's not a matter of will I. It's a matter of will I be aware that I am? And will I be part of the good gardener who is going to cultivate the weeds and tares that I've sown in my own kids' lives. Amen. A successful parent is not one who doesn't sow tares into their kids' lives. That's only God. Only God will do that. A successful parent is not one who doesn't sow tares. A successful parent is one who wakes up in the morning, puts on the gardening clothes with the good gardener himself. I feel this in my spirit. Gets up and does some gardening work in their kids' lives in whatever age they're in, and uproots the tares and prunes the fruit. That's what makes a parent good. A parent who says, I've never done that, or a parent who says, I probably did, but Jesus will take care of it, that's neglect. A good parent knows they're sowing good seed into the minds of their children and bad seed into the minds of their children. What makes them good is that they wake up with the good gardener every day and go into the Garden of Eden, that is our kids' hearts, minds, and souls, and works on the ground that we have cultivated well and destroyed. With that said, we let voices, and now more than ever, we let voices into our life. I said it weeks ago. The voices I'm the most concerned about in your life are not atheist voices. They're not agnostic voices. They're the voices of people that you agree with. The way we listen to voices we agree with is cult-like. We can watch a video of an arrow going up, and our political leader will say, the arrow in that video is going down. And we'll be like, the arrow's going down. How can anybody not see that? That's a funny example of sick truth. The way the voices we allow into our life, hear me, are going to enhance or help destroy the voices already latent within us. You're not just listening to the news. You're not just scrolling on whatever to see what's going on. You're not just following your friends. You are allowing voices into your life every day that will either affirm the tares in your life or help take them out. This made me laugh 2 weeks ago. Paul's like, Corinthian church, you're divided. Some say I'm of Paul. Some say I'm of Apollo. Some say I'm of Peter. And I thought, man, you'd be so angry with our church now. Your church, Paul, was divided amongst other Christian voices. Our churches are divided amongst not even pastoral. I'm of Trump. I'm of Kamala. I'm of Hillary. I'm of this. I'm of that. We're not even divided. They had a bad problem being divided by Christian voices. We're divided by non-Christian voices pretending to be Christian voices. Until one of those voices gets up and says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and then creates legislation to honor that statement, none of the voices we're hearing are Christian. Period. You heard it here first, folks. But when we let those voices in unchecked, they are confirming the worst, most traumatized voices in our life, or they're uprooting it. Are we aware of who we're letting into the Garden of Eden that is our mind and soul? And are they good gardeners? Do they garden like Jesus gardens? You're a Republican, you're a Democrat. When you listen to your news, when you listen to Fox or you listen to NPR, are those voices going into your head, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are they making you have to repress pain and hurt that you have? And if the answer is, I don't know, shut them all off until you do know. If you don't know if a pipe is frozen and busted in your house, you shut the water off until you figure it out. You don't just keep everything on and hope. That just comes from years of trauma from this building, that last statement. Good God. Ian, where's the thing that shuts the water off? I just need to know where that is. Teach me, Dad, how to shut that water off, please. But I also want to make this comment. I actually want to read this text. This is Galatians. Paul gets saved, and he's alone for 14 years, and then it says this. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation, and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. So Paul is saying, I got saved, I got a new revelation about Jesus, I waited for 14 years with this revelation. Listen, I read something amazing in the Bible, and I text Dan Savage 10 seconds later. Dude, Paul's like, when I read that, he waited 14 years? This is mind-blowing for a personality like mine. But what he waited for, once he waited, he went to Jerusalem and he said, I need some voices to speak into my life to make sure that the voice I heard is actually Jesus. Do you see that? Later on it says, on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and to me. Do you see that? Listen to me carefully. The only Christian voices that Paul let into his life were only those Christian voices that he was in touchable fellowship with. I'm going to step on some toes, but listen, I had some issues with my toes, and it is okay. You'll live. Trust me. If you are overly digesting Christian voices that you are not in touchable fellowship with, eventually it's going to lead you astray, even if it's healthy. We do everything we can to hear what we want apart from touchable fellowship, because touchable fellowship means accountability. I want to hear what I agree with no accountability, so I can just keep building up that stuff in my own head. God has put altars called churches in every town in almost the entire world for 2,000 years so that we can be in touch with Christian voices who will show up to your house or to the hospital if you were in trouble. It's not wrong to listen to sermons from other people, but when the amount of listening we're doing to people we're not in touchable fellowship with exceeds what we're listening to and living under with people we are, it is going to enhance the tares in our mind. When they gave me the right hand of fellowship, then I went about my ministry. We have to protect the gate of our mind. Worship team can come up, please. To bring it back and to make it simple, many of us live under the voice that says, if you did more, you would be more. If you did well, you would be well. Just before, and you've heard me say this again, and we're about to say it for 40 days in a few weeks, so just get used to this phrase, and every time you hear it like it's new. Just before Jesus went into the wilderness, he heard his dad say, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Yes? And what is the first phrase of the devil when Satan encounters Jesus? If you are the Son of God, do something to prove it. Turn stone into bread. Jump off the building. Worship me and become a king. If you are, perform to prove you are. It's the voice that says, if you fail to be strong, you're not a good person. If you fail to get it right, you're a failure. And God, before Jesus does anything good or bad, which he doesn't do anything bad, but before Jesus does anything at all, God says, you're my beloved son. And then, in 2 weeks, it's going to be Transfiguration Sunday, February 15th. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is a week away from going to the cross, and a second time, the voice comes and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why is that significant? Because on the cross, someone who Jesus loves is going to say, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. It's a worse temptation than the first three. It's not now, it's no longer the image of a devil It's somebody Jesus loves saying, if you really are who you say you are, if you die, you're failing us. If you die, you didn't beat anybody. You let them walk on you. You let them take advantage of you. You didn't succeed in a single thing. If you really are who you say you are, if you really love me, if you really are the Son of God, one more time, right now, you made a dead man get up again. Hop on down off this cross, turn it upside down, and beat somebody over the head with it, please. And Jesus dies. What in him gave him the strength to not have to prove who he was? The voice of a parent saying, you are my beloved son. There is no if. Don't ever think there is. What we need today, I'm going to use a crazy word, is we need the epiphatic voice. Everybody say epiphatic. We need the epiphatic voice, the epiphany, the epiphatic voice of God to speak into your life. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And we need it to enter our life, not through knowledge, not through the scriptures, but we need it to enter our soul through a spoken word from the Logos of God into our mind to hover over the voices that tell us we're not unless we do. I'm telling you right now, in my life, I am at the beginning stage of finding real, authentic freedom in this. And it has taken a lot of work and a long time. And I believe, like any parent, whether it's over children or over a church, as a mom and dad, we will work really hard to hopefully give to our kids something that they won't have to work hard to have. And then they'll work really hard and give something to their kids that their kids didn't have to work hard to have. It's called inheritance, yes? I hope that the almost decade of work I have put into this, in simple sermons like this and many more to come, can just invite you to say, Lord, there are voices in my life that tell me I have to dance in order to be a good person. I have to perform in order to be a good person. I'm living daily under this thought that I mess everything up. If it goes wrong, that's what usually happens. If it goes right, I got lucky. God wants to speak a better word over you this morning. So I'm going to have Elder George and Jacqueline. Elder Ron got raptured. And Jacqueline. Can you guys please, you guys. Can you guy and you gal please come here? Just hold this for a minute while I pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you descend on this bread and make it for your people the body and blood of Jesus, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. And I pray that you descend on us, forgive us of our sins, and anoint us to bring glory to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with our lives. And I pray that as each person comes up to receive your body and your blood this morning, that a voice in their mind would be healed each time they come up to the Lord's table, to your table, Father God. Salem, as you come forward, be open, be vulnerable, know that your Heavenly Father is going to speak a better word into your life than even the good words spoken into your life. I will tell you this, as a dad, one of the most confident prayers I can pray is, God, I have spoken good and bad into my kids' lives. I pray that you would speak better to them than my bad and better to them than my good. God wants to speak an indestructible word into your life. Spend some time with him. If you need to spend some time at the altar, do that. But I believe that there is an incredible amount of freedom that you can have if you acknowledge that these voices are there, which they are, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak a better word into your mind. Let's stand to our feet while the worship team sings. Ushers will release you from the back to the front. You can come forward this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.